It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Criminal Injustice is a podcast looking at America's justice system. Produced in collaboration with WESA, the podcast is available now for free subscription and downloading at iTunes. Criminal Injustice is hosted by University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris, who joins us in studio with a preview of what listeners can expect. David Harris, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, it's always good to be with you.
What gave you the idea for Criminal Injustice?
Well, you know, we've done it on your air. It's everywhere. These questions now, I get so many requests for answers. People have a thirst for knowledge about how the system actually works, where its problems are, what potential solutions might be out there, why we are seeing the problems and the issues that we have been over the last 18 months with police and citizens in deadly encounters, whether there is civil unrest, whether it's a question of how we can do policing better. There is so much public interest in these issues that I thought an outlet dedicated only to those questions, discussed in a thoughtful but informal way, that really seemed to be a sweet spot that nobody was taking. And I thought, why not? It's the right time. It's the right set of issues. It's needed. People want it. Let's do it.
Why approach WESA?
Well, WESA is a tremendous asset to the Pittsburgh community. I mean, anybody who listens to your show and hears the radio that comes from WESA every day, 7 days a week in our region, you know that they're producing quality programming, and it's something that benefits all listeners. And I just thought, if there's anybody I want to be a partner with on this venture, if there's anybody who's going to make this sound good and professional, it's going to guide me, a novice on this other side of the microphone, to producing something good, it would be the people I've worked with at WESA already. And the station was receptive to the idea. I wasn't surprised that they understood the importance of the issues and how the public could benefit. So it seemed like a great match. I also had heard a really interesting podcast that was coming from WESA last fall. And this was Josh Rollerson's podcast called Nanograms. And it was a fascinating set of shows for anybody who checked it out. I still recommended it. You can still download it. Josh did a fabulous idea showing how the technology we have now was leading us in some directions we might not expect. Some of the best audio I'd heard in a long time. And I thought, well, there's obvious interest here at the station in sort of leading edge audio programming in the podcasting format. This is the place to go.
You've been on the interviewee side of our microphones so often, and you've been interviewed in so many venues, All Things Considered, Morning Edition, Diane Rehm, The New York Times, PBS NewsHour, to name a few. What made you want to get on the other side of the interview?
Well, it's a great question because having experienced it, I know what really makes a great, great interview from the point of view of the person being interviewed. But I've had enough interviews that haven't been so great that I sometimes thought, gee, I would have asked different questions, or I could have done something else if I were on the other side of this. So I was curious to see if I could pull it off, for one. For another, I'm at the point where I've worked with so many people across the criminal justice system in all kinds of positions that I felt I'd have a shot at bringing some really interesting voices to the discussion of these issues. And it's people who I don't hear getting interviewed. It's people who don't really have the platform, and I'd be able to really get them going and go to great depth with them. Because as you know, not everything on the air is as good or as deep as public radio. And sometimes even the brief stories we hear on public radio, it's 2 minutes, it's 4 minutes, which is an eternity in regular broadcasting. And it's great, but it would give me the chance to really go deep with some of these folks and to really get to the root of some of these issues that have been so important to me throughout my career.
Why the discussion format with the guests? Lots of podcasts are just basic rants. Yours really isn't. Give us an example.
Yeah, and the format is, you know, I'm going to frame the issue. And then I'm going to come in with a guest, and we're going to have the kind of discussion you'd have with somebody over a cup of coffee or a beer, something like that. It's not a class. It's not a lecture. And I really wanted it to be that way. I mean, there's enough ranting and yelling in the world. And the discussion with a well-informed guest gives you a chance to get at some things that I think would be kind of unexpected. And the example I'd like to play here was from my very first episode. My guest was Vic Volchek, who is the legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania, and our subject was body cameras. And what was so interesting about this particular piece of the interview was I think people have an image of the ACLU as being very doctrinaire, and on the body camera issue, oh, record everything, you can't trust the cops, that sort of thing. And what Vic revealed in this clip was that the ACLU's position is much more thoughtful, and they're not for record everything. They want something much more nuanced. They want judgment to be involved, and they're balancing the question of privacy versus recording of police for documenting possible misconduct.
You know, there's a little bit of tension there. So we're not usually in support of any kind of pervasive government surveillance, which is what potentially these body cams would do. But on balance, if appropriately limited, we do think that these body cams will have a tremendous positive effect. So as you say, it really is a net plus. And, you know, the big thing for me is that having done police misconduct cases for over 20 years, time and time again, we will get cases where you've got a civilian who alleges they've been victimized by the police. There may be witnesses, and they all tell one story of a police officer who's breaking the rules, who's out of control, who's violating constitutional rights. You then get the police side of the story, and it's very different. And of course, the officer did nothing wrong. And you're thinking, you know, how can this be? And as a trial lawyer, the difficulty is convincing a jury that the police are not telling the truth. The beauty of this camera is, and of the images, is that it is objective evidence of what really happened.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we just heard a clip from the podcast Criminal Injustice, hosted by my guest David Harris. Were you surprised by anything?
Oh, yes. Over and over. I mean, the people, and I knew all of these guests that I had, but they really did surprise me. And here's another example from that same episode. I mean, at this point, Vic and I have been discussing body cameras, their ins and outs for some time. We're well into the interview. And to, I think, the surprise of both of us, we end up in a discussion in which both of us are talking about the downsides of cameras, not their upsides. I think you'll see that this is maybe not a place that either of us expected to be in the beginning of the discussion.
And this is a clip from the podcast Criminal Injustice, hosted by my guest, David Harris.
One of my great fears with this here in Pennsylvania with our law and in many other states is that you're going to have a public expectation, a strong one, that body camera footage will be available and that when something goes wrong, the law enforcement people will trot it out and say, well, here's what happened. But under the right to know law, the temptation, if not even sometimes the obligation, is going to be very strong to keep the footage out of the public domain. And I think that may undermine whatever benefits we might be getting from this kind of body camera footage in a significant way when the public says, what? You mean we have footage and we can't see it?
Well, and it creates another dynamic. I mean, I'm sure it's not any surprise to listeners to know that there is a there's a lot of tension between police and law enforcement these days, especially when you're talking about police and communities of color. And if you have some kind of publicly visible incident where police did something and somebody gets hurt or somebody gets killed, and then you see the police saying, yeah, we got footage, but we're not going to release it, that's only going to arouse
more. It's just going to make it worse.
Right. It arouses more suspicion. And I think, in fact, will create bigger problems in terms of trying to heal police-community relations. I mean, this really is an area where transparency is needed.
Yes, and if we don't get it, if we get the opposite, we could actually deepen the hole that we're in instead of making things better.
What will you be covering in subsequent episodes?
Well, we have a whole season ready to go, then it'll go up once a week each Tuesday beginning March 29th. We'll have the episode on body cameras, but we'll be covering consent decrees. People in Pittsburgh will remember that we were the first big city to have a federal consent decree cover our police department. And since then, from Cleveland to L.A. to Albuquerque, you name it. And we have the best expert in the country, Sam Walker, to talk about that. Episode 3 is going to be about unconscious racial bias with the president of the National Black Prosecutors Association, a really terrific guest, Melba Pearson. We're going to talk about mass incarceration with the head of the Sentencing Project in Washington, D.C., Mark Maurer. We're going to have guests from the policing world who will talk about use of force, about changes in policing, new approaches. It's a really interesting roster of people, and I think listeners are going to find that they're going to hear some things here that they just won't hear anywhere else.
I understand you have a closing feature that maybe will not make your friends in the legal profession too happy.
Well, if they have a sense of humor, I think they'll like it. You know, for years, I don't know about you, Paul, but I've been a fan of this of things like these newspaper features called News of the Weird or Stupid Criminals, where you see little stories about incidents here or there where people just act in the dumbest ways. And I've seen stories about my fellow lawyers doing some really dumb things, as everybody in the profession has. So I've gathered some of them. I call this last feature that I use on every episode, Lawyers Behaving Badly. And I hope it allows everybody to come out of some of these serious discussions with a smile on their face. I got a kick out of doing it. I'm almost ready to launch a new podcast with just these stories. It was so much fun, and they were not hard to find, I'm sorry to say.
Criminal Injustice is the new podcast looking at America's justice system, hosted by University of Pittsburgh law professor David Harris in collaboration with WESA. David Harris, as always, great thanks.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And there is a special listening party launch event for Criminal Injustice at Pitt Law today at 5:30. It's open to the public. David and WESA Morning Edition host and podcast producer Josh Rollerson will discuss the podcast, and you'll hear excerpts from the coming season. Details can be found on the WESA website. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.